The format of this meeting is two 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Maura.
Hello, I'm Maura, and I'm an alcoholic. It's really good to be here. My sobriety date is January 19th, 2004. My home group is Atlantic Group. My sponsor is Amanda H., and I'm working steps 10, 11, 12. Where to begin? Just talking about my drinking for a little bit, I pretty much popped out of my mom an alcoholic, I'm pretty convinced, I always joke that I should have been given a sponsor when I was three, because my thinking was crazy, from a very early age. I had the genetic, all that alcoholism in my family, Irish Catholic, blah, blah. But, I grew up in northern New Jersey, right outside the city, and I kind of did all the things that you're supposed to do as a kid, externally successful. But I didn't get the memo, and when I went to my first meeting, I think I heard somebody say that in a meeting, like, they didn't get the life instruction book, and that resonated with me a lot. Like I didn't know what was. I felt anxious. I didn't feel like I was like other people. All of those things. So when alcohol came into my life, the first time I got drunk, I'm going to tell you about two drink, my first and my last drink. Which when I was reflecting on my drinking, I realized how similar they were, and how kind of like depressing that is, because like nothing really changed in my 10-year drinking span. It was just like the same thing over and over again. But my first drink was, I was 16. I was after the sophomore semi-formal. And my friends and I came into the city to drink at a bar called Burrito Loco on West 4th Street. It's still there. And because we knew they served underage kids. And I look young now. I look like I was like nine. And I didn't know if they would serve me, but sure enough, I had two, double fisting the Long Island iced teas. And the next thing I knew, I was back in New Jersey in my friend's bedroom, pile of clothes on the floor, pile of vomit on this side, and I had no idea what had happened. And that began my drinking career. I was a blackout drunk. I can't really remember. I count on one hand the number of times I drank and didn't black out. And that scared me enough to not drink again until college. And that's kind of when it all went to pieces. Although, again, like a good kind of functional alcoholic, I kept the externals together. I graduated, went to good college, I did all the things you're supposed to do. But, the thing that struck me and kind of thinking back on my drinking is that nothing was going on inside. I had no self-esteem. I didn't know who I was. I was this person for that group and that person for this group, and, scared of everything. And my drinking career really kind of progressed through my 20s. Got out of school, moved to the city, got the job that I wanted, and just screwed that up, because I was drinking, and hungover, a lot of excuses about coming into work, and just not living up to what I knew there was more to life, but I couldn't stop drinking. I just couldn't. It was everything to me. It was my identity. I was better at drinking than whatever that means, but that's what I fancied myself. I could outdrink anybody, and that as if that's like a badge of honor. But, my last drink, just kind of fast forwarding, I was 20, 25, another bar downtown New York. I was at a bachelorette party, which I really shouldn't have been at. But I showed up to anyway, and I had started like pre-gaming before I even got there, because the drinking got to the point where like I couldn't do anything with it. I couldn't be in the world in front of other people without drinking, and I was already three sheets when everyone else got there, and like I said, I shouldn't have been there to begin with, and I ruined this person's party. I really did. I really. I got kicked out. I mean, like it was just a scene, and then subsequently kind of blacked out and ended up back in the person I was dating's apartment. And the next day, that was my moment of grace the next day. There was an intervention, and my friends and family came to me and said, you know, what are you doing with your life? This is not who you are. And it was such a relief to me. It really was a huge relief. And I went into rehab the next day, and I've been sober ever since. And, sobriety has been long and slow and not easy, you know, but it's been the greatest thing. It's been the greatest thing, you know. In those early days of sobriety, I hooked up with a great group of people, and I did what I was told to do. You know, I realized what I was doing wasn't working, and thank God I realized that. You know, I went to a lot of meetings, and I embraced God. You know, the God thing, I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit, because I know there's a lot of newcomers here, and for me, you know, God has been an evolution in my life. You know, my relationship with God has really evolved. And it's really kind of the bedrock, my relationship with my higher power. But in those early days, it was really about good orderly direction, group of drunks. I went to a lot of meetings, you know, I spent a lot of time with sober people, and that got me through. And, as I've progressed in my sobriety, you know, that's shifted and changed. And we're lucky that Alcoholics Anonymous allows that to change. You know, it can be something different every day. I mean, my first sponsor in early sobriety, she remember saying, like, you know, getting your nails done should be your higher power today, you know? And that worked. It's completely different for me now. And, you know, working the steps, around 9 years sobriety, I needed a change, which actually brought me into Atlantic Group, and I met Amanda, and we really worked the steps for me in the first real way. And my life changed, you know. The answers I'd always been told were in the steps, and I actually lived that for the first time, you know. Doing a real inventory, really kind of turning that over, learning what my defects are and how they're affecting my life and how they're affecting other people, was amazing, you know, that I didn't have to be at the mercy and the whim of my thinking and my emotions all the time, and making amends, truly cleaning up, you know, the stuff, the wreckage of my past, which I had kind of let linger there for a while, was very powerful, you know, and allowing that to happen has allowed these God moments, you know, more and more, the more I kind of let go and allow God to work in my life, and the more I kind of dwell in the steps, you know, 10, 11, 12 are important to me. You know, I do a lot of inventories. Prayer and meditation are very important. Just that stillness, that silence, it allows me to, you know, hear God, you know, those, that thought or intuition, you know, I really depend on that now. And step 12, you know, helping another alcoholic, you know, Amanda's always said, you know, just say a prayer and go help someone else, because it's about getting out of my own head and realizing that I'm not the center of the universe. You know, back when I was drinking in those bars, it was all about me, you know, and, the greatest gift is knowing that it's really, that's kind of the point, is that it's not. And if I can help another person, that's where that freedom comes. And 2 points to that, you know, my brother just got out of detox a couple days ago, my older brother. And I just learned that on Sunday. He lives in London. And, you know, I was able to talk to him today. I just spoke to him before I came in here today. And we've had no relationship because of that. And he turned to me, you know, to help him, and that, and to be able to share, you know, I haven't told him what to do, but just to share my experience has been so comforting to him. And what a gift, you know, what a huge gift. You know, in sobriety, you know, sobriety's allowed me to do a lot of things in my life. I became a doctor in sobriety. You know, it's my profession is to help people, you know, and I kind of consider that a little bit a 12 step. That's been a gift. I've gotten married to an extraordinary person in sobriety. I learned how to surf in sobriety. You know, I like sobriety's the greatest thing, you know, anything is possible, you know, and I can do the things that I always wanted to do. And I, you know, I can connect with people now. And that's also a great gift. When I was in those bars in the Lower East Side drinking, you know, what I was really seeking was connection and a sense of ease. And maybe it was like 2 minutes, you know, that it happened and then it went away. But now I have that basically all the time. And if I don't, I know how to kind of shift out of that and get back. So, you know, I owe my life to AA, and you know, it's something I'm just in tremendous gratitude for, and you know, I thank you guys for my sobriety as well. Thanks.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Ken.
Hey, everyone. My name's Ken. I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, I haven't had a drink in a little more than 2.5 years. My sobriety date is December 23rd, 2012. And, you know, I have a sponsor. And here I am. I started drinking probably when it was before I was 13 was my first drunk, first time I got drunk. I don't think I knew that you got drunk, but I was going to a Passover Seder. It's a religious ceremony at my cousin's house there are four of cousins. The whole family is richer, better looking, more successful. The cousins are older, and, you know, they just have everything together. I mean, that's what I thought. And I decided that year that we'd always sat at the kids' table, you know, because I was a kid. And I wanted to be an adult. Everything would be better if I was an adult. And if I'm going to drink wine, you're supposed to drink 4 cups of wine. Actually, no one in my family ever drinks 4 cups of wine. I didn't know, actually, there's a second part of the service. Anyway, whatever. So I started drinking this wine. I start feeling really good, you know, and I start really interacting with my cousins. I become like the center of attention. I'm really getting everything I like. And but I didn't stop. You know, that was probably how I felt after the first cup. But I had already decided I was going to have all four, and I did. And it ended up with my throwing up all the way home and ruining my parents' car. The electric window never went up again. Well, it got up. It never went down again for as long as we were in that car. And it was because I threw up all the way from 2-hour drive from cousin's house to our house back home. And, you know, and I remembered that, and I drank. And I drank really whenever I could. I remember before I turned 16 telling my friends that I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to drink and drive. And I made, you know, we weren't going to do that. And that lasted for about a month. And then I remember driving with my friend Julie, who said, Ken, you're getting really close to that line, you know, that, I don't know, what is it, yellow or white in the middle. So I always, you know, couldn't keep my promises to not drink. And you know, and when I got a little older, I used alcohol for the same reasons I had used it before, was to feel like I fit in, you know, with the cool people, or not even with the cool people, just with people. And, you know, I was just talking to someone today who was saying how it was hard to go up and say hello to people, where, you know, it is for me too, still today, you know, like to go up and say hello to a stranger without a drink in my hand is difficult. But you know what? That's life. And everyone has to do it. It's just that my solution as an alcoholic was to have a drink in my hand and use alcohol. And the problem with that was that it got me in trouble. I got arrested. I went on a job interview, and they had given me a per diem. They flew me up somewhere, and I drank the whole night because it was free booze, right? And I didn't get that job. Now, maybe I wouldn't have got the job anyway, but definitely not going to get the job when you stayed up all night and smelled like alcohol. And so alcohol really didn't serve me after a while. But, you know, in the beginning it worked, you know, because I did have friends and I was fun. I did go to parties and it was fun. But, you know, I ended up having to, you know, try all different methods to stop drinking. And I decided I was going to move out of the country, which I did for 10 years, but I kept drinking. And then I came back because drinking led to a disaster in my life. And then I moved into an ashram, which is a spiritual community where you're not supposed to drink. And I still ended up drinking there. And, you know, there was just no hope. You know, I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, not in the fact that I lost everything, because I have to tell you, when I first came into the program, I was making the most money I had ever made in my life. I was all set, and I had a great job. But I felt dead inside, and I wanted to die really every day, you know, and just that was like my solution, because, you know, drinking wasn't working anymore. And so all I could really think of was to just die. And you know, that didn't happen. And so I knew that I had a problem because I had tried all this stuff. And so I came into AA. So that actually was 5 years ago. And you know, I started going to meetings, thank you. And, you know, I got a sponsor and, you know, we kind of did the steps and, you know, it didn't work. It didn't work actually because, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And the bad news is for anyone who's new here is that, you know, this is just like how I am. And if I don't do stuff all the time, then I just go back to being that same guy who needs to have a drink in my hand to do anything to feel good. And so Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a way to not drink. I mean, really, you know, I came in here with a problem, and that was like, how do I not drink and feel okay? And the truth of the matter is that I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, even though I, you know, went out for a little while, you know, between about 2.5 years ago, it wasn't for a long time. And Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, you know, a way of things to do that make me feel okay. And it works. And so, you know, if I start feeling really bad, it's because I'm not really doing the stuff that I know works. So anyway, what did I do? I came to meetings and I found a sponsor. And the second time around, this 2.5 years ago, I found a sponsor who worked with the Big Book, which is our textbook. You know, everyone says they didn't get the book to how to live. Well, you know, if you've tried everything else like I did, well, why don't you go buy one of these big books that are blue? And I think they cost $12 now. They used to cost $8. But anyway, it's well worth the money. If you get that, it's going to really help you. It really helped me. And I got a sponsor because, you know, reading it alone, you know, I don't know. Actually, I could read it in one day. That's what alcoholics do, is we would just read the whole thing and put it away. But so I got a sponsor who helped me read it slowly. We studied it. He took me through the steps. And you know, I call him every day. He told me if I do these things that I'm going to feel pretty good about myself or okay. I'm not going to want to kill myself every day, and I'm not going to want to drink every day. And that's is what happened. And so I got the sponsor. And in the beginning, I went to a meeting every single day, which was fine. I didn't have anything else to do, now that I wasn't drinking. And, you know, he told me to call three guys, which I still do every day. I call three people every day. And go get some service commitments, which means helping out at these meetings, you know. And I do that. And I sign people up for membership before the meeting. So if you ever want to be a member, come and see me before this meeting. And that stuff all makes it so when I wake up in the morning every day, I don't feel like shooting myself in the head. So, you know, if you're new or you're just starting over, then I would suggest you get one of these big books, get a sponsor to help you take you through the steps, go to a meeting. You know, it doesn't have to be this meeting. We have so many meetings. You know, just go to an AA meeting anywhere. And I guarantee you that if you do that stuff, you're going to feel good, and tomorrow morning you're not going to wake up wanting to shoot yourself in the head. Thanks for letting me share.